Should we pray? We thank you, Lord Jesus, that after your baptism and in preparation for your ministry, alone in the desert, weak, tired, and hungry, you did not yield to the temptations of the devil. We thank you that you were victorious. We pray that we today will learn from your example and learn to be victorious too. In Jesus' name, amen. It's often said that life is full of temptations. Some relatively small, maybe having that extra chocolate or a slice of cake that people will hint, if you have that, you'll put a kilo of weight on overnight, so be very careful, as if. A bit more serious, like wanting to plonk somebody on the nose for sneaking into your parking space that you've already lined up. I'm joking. But maybe the thought has crossed your mind. Some temptations have very serious consequences that can ruin a person's life and others too. Because when you go down, you often take others with you. Like gambling, I know people whose lives totally ruined through gambling, alcohol, drugs. And also it's worth pointing out that pornography will seriously pollute you. And I worry about children, young people, who at the press of one or two buttons find themselves on sites which are wicked and evil. Temptation is usually an appeal to a person's flawed human nature. Never forget that you're flawed. No room for self-righteousness in the church. The church that I went to a very long time ago in Manchester, it had a huge poster and it said, "This church is for sinners only." What do you think about that? As long as we all remember we're flawed human beings. Now then, temptation itself isn't a sin unless you're the one who's doing the tempting. But yielding to temptation is a sin. Jesus was tempted in all areas but didn't yield to it. Jesus' nature, it's important to remember, wasn't flawed like ours, but nevertheless, he was flesh and blood. Jesus was tempted by the devil in the desert whilst preparing for his ministry. I want to tell you this, that if God calls you to do something, like Jesus was called to do his ministry, if Jesus calls you to do something, you can guarantee the devil or one of his helpers will come around and try and put you off from doing it. Always be prepared. The devil will sow false ideas in your mind or throw circumstances at you to tempt you away from doing it. For example, you're far too young. Or, let's face it, you're too old to be doing that. Or you're too busy already. You haven't got time for it. Or, you're not qualified, are you? Let's face it. Or, you won't like it, you know. Oh, you won't. You'll soon get fed up of it. Or, it's too costly. A waste of time. Well, what does the Lord say about it? If he's called you, what does the Lord say? Because only his opinion really counts. Ironically, Jesus was led by the Spirit, not amongst people, but away from them in the desert to commune with God. To commune with God. And eventually being tempted by the devil and overcoming his strategy. The devil has a strategy. He's a person. He's an evil person. Let's also remember that Jesus was a carpenter. He wasn't a trained academic, but he was well versed in the scripture. Well versed in the scripture. He knew it and he memorized it. And it was scripture that he used to rebuke Satan with. Armed with that, Jesus would gain the victory over the devil's temptations. But may I say this, so can you, so can I. Using scripture, scripture says it's like a sword that frightens the devil and puts him to flight. So with your armour, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, use it and apply it. By fasting, Jesus ate nothing during those days, which is the limit, 40 days, apparently is the limit the human body can recover. There's a limit. And from what I've read in the past, when people, some of these terrorists in Northern Ireland were fasting for more than 40 days or up to 40 days, they knew, the doctors knew, there was a limit to which the body can recover. And 40 days, ironically, in comparison with Scripture, in our Bible reading, is the limit to which the body can fully recover. Well, Jesus must have drank water, of course, to prevent dehydration. But there were no roadside cafes to tempt him, except the devil, who waited, watching closely like a predator, which the devil is. St. Paul says in Ephesians 6, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking who he can tear apart. The devil is no gentleman. He doesn't wear a bowler hat and an umbrella and a pinstripe suit. Although apparently there's one painting that shows Jesus in the desert and the devil approaching him wearing exactly that kind of garb. Bowler hat, pinstripe suit, and an umbrella. After 40 days, the devil made his appearance. When Jesus was at his weakest, the devil asked an apparent innocuous question. Hey, you there, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. You know you need it. You know you want it. Let's see you do it. He took advantage, of course, of Jesus' need for food and at the same time sowing seeds of doubt by saying, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, making Jesus, or hoping Jesus would doubt his identity. Likewise, when you're in trouble, when you're tired, when you're weary, or in sick or pain, which we all can be, because we all know what life's like, the devil will confuse you and make you doubt who you are. Who you are. He'll sow seeds and thoughts with, I thought God loved you. Where is he now? Where is he now? Well, it's important to remember that a Christian is a son or daughter of God. You're precious to him. You're part of his family. You're saved by grace. You're loved by him. He will never leave you or forsake you. These important truths we must remember when the going gets tough. Sometimes Christian can have a crisis of faith. And we should do what Jesus did by quoting scripture. In this instance, Jesus said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Or in other instances in scripture, get behind me, Satan. Or as St. Paul said, I take every thought captive. It's amazing what thoughts come into your mind, don't they? All kinds of thoughts, some good thoughts, some bad thoughts. The bad thoughts are set to ruin you, to spoil you, to corrupt you, to do anything other than being close to God. So then, take every thought captive. And the important thing is this. So doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. Have you got that? Doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. The second temptation, the devil took Jesus to a pinnacle of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. By saying this, the devil was appealing to pride, challenging Jesus to prove himself. Go on, do it. Go on. I don't like these t-shirts that you see young people wearing that says, just do it. What message does that send out? Subtle. We could laugh. But there's a subtle underlying message to that. Just do it. You know, the religious leaders said that to Jesus too. They said, hey, you know, show us a miracle now so that we know who you are. Demonstrate by showing us a miracle. What hypocrisy. They'd already seen Jesus healing the sick and doing all kinds of things, the blind, the deaf, the dumb, casting out demons. But they wanted Jesus to perform like some kind of magician, appealing to Jesus' pride or natural human pride. Pride is the top of the seven deadly sins. Pride is the opposite of humility. Pride prevents people from saying sorry. You know, it can stick in your throat, can't it? The best of us. We don't like saying sorry. That's pride. Pride prevents people from forgiving others. You wouldn't believe what grudges people nurse like a little baby. Oh, I remember when. I'm not forgetting that. They can nurse grudge like a baby. Pride elevates selfishness, arrogance, big-headedness. Pride encourages selfish ambition at the expense of others. Pride stops people from backing down, even though they know they're wrong. And they're prepared to suffer for it. I'm sure we've all come across people like that. Rather than say they're sorry, they'd rather suffer than say, I'm sorry, and put their hand up. You know, Putin fits that description. Pride. The trouble is, through his pride, arrogance, desire for power and control, the Russian people will suffer an awful lot because of his pride and selfish ambition. Tragic, isn't it? Not just themselves that suffer, but they pull an awful lot of people down with them. Pride often encourages a person to be rude, dismissive of others, looking down on people, being snooty. I think that's one of the worst things he can be. Being snooty. Looking down on others. Why? Because Jesus humbled himself. He left his throne in heaven and came to earth. Became a carpenter and worked amongst the common people. Beware of looking down on people. Even tramps or people unkempt that you see. People who are totally different than you, beware. Jesus never looked down on people. He welcomed all. And therefore, it's important from time to time, when you look in a mirror, what do you see? I'm not talking about the outward appearance. What do you really see? Always be brutally honest with yourself. You know, it's natural for human nature to be very honest with other people, but not with yourself. When you look in a mirror, what do you see? What's going on inside? Attitude, character, behaviour, the way you use your tongue. With regards to pride, Jesus said, in response to the devil, "Get behind me, Satan. Do not put the Lord your God to the test." And finally, the third temptation was to take Jesus to a high place with all the visual effects of Hollywood and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a glance. Hollywood can do that, can't they? Not that they can offer you. But that's what the devil did. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world, all the glory of it, all the majesty, the wealth. Wow, an awesome sight. And the devil said to Jesus, "You know, I can give you all of this. Oh, I can give you all of this." The catch being, if only you will bow down and worship me. This particular temptation was an appeal to greed. As we all know, in our materialistic world, televisions, etc., we're all bombarded with the media by what others have, or that makes us want to have more and more. And therefore, it's important to try to be content with what you have. That's not easy, is it? Try to be content with what you have. Scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. Remember what the Beatles sang? Money can't buy me love. And they should know. They got the money. They were desperate for love. Jesus responded by saying, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." After the third temptation, the devil left Jesus, but he would be back. Oh, he would be back. Don't think it was the final victory. He would be back, looking for another opportunity. The same with you and me. The devil always will come back, or one of his helpers. But his agenda is always the same: to mug people, lead them away from God. But if you do yield, you know you've fluffed it, you've known I made a mess, be honest. Be quick to use God's forgiveness and press on to love and serve God and worship him only. Amen.